Very good morning to you. This is Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Thank you so much for being with us. Larry Mantle is off all this week. I am Kyle Stokes, just trying to keep his chair warm for the week. It's a privilege to be with you, and thanks for sticking with us. Later in the hour, 25 years ago this week, O.J. Simpson's slow-speed chase snaked across Southern California freeways. We want to know where you were and how you remember the event. You can go right now and leave your memories at the AirTalk page at kpcc.org, and we'll take your calls and memories of that chase coming up later in this hour. But first, wildfire legislation. California often feels like a tinderbox threaded with high-intensity power lines. We've seen in recent years that the two don't mix. Last November, Pacific Gas and Electric transmission lines near Chico sparked the Campfire, the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in the state's history. PG&E, fearing that it would be held liable for up to $30 million in losses, filed for bankruptcy. PG&E was eventually found to have started the fire, but those who suffered wildfire losses have had difficulty collecting from the company. But the state has a problem as well, a bigger problem. Wildfires add to the financial risk for utilities to do business at all in California. And now state lawmakers have given themselves until a month from now to try and figure out how to make it less risky while also minimizing the hit to ratepayers, a.k.a. you and me. To talk about the move in Sacramento, we have with us Brian Anderson, a political reporter for the Sacramento Bee, who covers the legislature and is also the host of the Bee's California Nation podcast. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm curious if you can sort of lay some of the context here. Obviously, wildfires are not new in California. We know that they have been happening more and they have been more destructive in recent years. But why are lawmakers tackling this with such urgency now? Is it because of more destructive wildfires, or is this because of some regulatory change? Why now?
So there's a number of things. I think a major thing to start with is, like you said, just the escalation in wildfires. We saw a lot of Northern California fires in 2017, and the Campfire, which happened last fall, really spurred lawmakers into action. If you ask the Democratic leadership under Tony Atkins in the Senate and Speaker Anthony Rendon in the Assembly, they made this a top priority going into the session and said there would be a lot of talk from members about how to address this problem. And then when they return, they have PG&E declare bankruptcy, which only adds a sense of urgency. But what I focused on in a recent story really tackled the lack of action we've seen in the legislature over the last few months. So that sort of sets the stage for where we are now, where you have the governor saying we're going to have a July 12th deadline to get something done, and these ratings agencies saying that we're going to lower these credit ratings for people and utilities that don't get anything done by July 12th. So there's added pressure from lawmakers, from the governor, and from rating agencies to have something done quick. And I think over this next month, you're going to see a flurry of activity in the Capitol on wildfires.
Okay, so now two things there. One, why July 12th? What's the deadline that's relevant there? Why July 12th?
Sure. So that's the final day before the legislature takes a month-long recess. And back in an April 12th news conference, Governor Gavin Newsom said he wanted to, quote, get something big done, end quote. And that was his timeline to really have lawmakers get something done before they went to a month-long recess. In response to that, some rating agencies like S&P Global warned that it would likely downgrade the ratings of electric companies like Sempra and others if lawmakers didn't take action by the timeline Newsom had highlighted. And some lawmakers, including a Republican, John Moorlach, and including Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon, they've called this deadline arbitrary. So there's nothing requiring lawmakers to take action by this time, but that's the time frame that's been outlined.
Because those regulatory agencies, or excuse me, the ratings agencies have come up and said we're going to downgrade. I've read in the LA Times, for instance, that SoCal Edison might be downgraded if no legislation is created, putting them on less solid financial footing.
Right. I mean, it would send shockwaves across California to several utilities, including Sempra, Edison, and and several others could be in danger is the worry.
Right. Well, let's talk about what is being proposed in terms of a possible solution here. The ideas that are being kicked around in Sacramento, a so-called wildfire fund or other legislation. What are the ideas that are out there for how this fund would work?
Sure. So it's very complicated, but there's three options basically on the table. And those three options emerged from a task force that the governor had recently assembled to examine this issue and brief lawmakers on their options. So one action that's very unlikely to happen if you ask Democratic leaders and the governor is to basically reduce the standard for these utility companies. And it's to adopt a fault-based standard that would kind of shift the risk a property loss to insurance companies and homeowners and people who are either underinsured or without insurance. And some worry that this would do less to hold utility companies accountable. So that's one option that's maybe not as likely to happen. And it's known as inverse condemnation. Another option that's more likely to happen, but still up in the air, is this catastrophic wildfire fund. And that's designed to spread liability costs more broadly between ratepayers, insurance companies, utility companies, and potentially taxpayers. And that has some appetite, but there's just a worry about how you bring all these different groups to the table. And the third option is probably the most likely, and that's a liquidity-only fund. And basically, it kind of loans money out to these utility companies as the state's utilities commission is sort of determining cost recovery and liability for future wildfires. So it's basically designed to get the victims their money faster while sort of giving a loan to utilities.
Yeah, but a higher risk option, because if you give out this money and then you have a PG&E situation where they're ruled to have caused a wildfire and then they're found liable, they have to go out and declare bankruptcy, then it's possible that this fund might not be replenished. The loan might not be repaid.
Exactly. I mean, it's possible that someone like an Edison could declare bankruptcy theoretically, and then they get all this money and declare bankruptcy. So that's certainly a big fear.
So why is it, though, that this option is more likely at this point?
So I think that if you talk to lawmakers and if you talk to experts, there's not an option that really makes them happy. This isn't a very good winning political issue, and it's about solving a complex problem. Why the fault-based standard is not a good option for some people is that there's a fear among Democrats that it'll do less to hold utilities accountable. So that kind of scratches that option off. And then the catastrophic wildfire fund just requires so much buy-in from so many different parties. So that's maybe a heavy lift. And that leaves you with just a liquidity-only fund. So by process of elimination, you have this liquidity fund as potentially the most likely of the three to happen.
Yeah.
But still, it's a long ways away.
Yeah. A long ways away in what way? Just quickly, if you could clarify that.
Sure. I mean, we have so much talk going on behind the scenes between these relevant stakeholders, advocates, wildfire victims, and it's an ongoing discussion. We still have some room to go before we get a concrete proposal.
Right. Well, we should mention that we reached out to one of the stakeholders that Brian Anderson of the Sacramento Bee mentions. We reached out to SoCal Edison and invited them to provide a representative to join our conversation. They were not able to provide us with someone who could speak for their beliefs about this proposal at the time that we requested. We also have with us here on the line Mark Toney, executive director of the consumer advocacy group, the Utility Reform Network. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kyle. Happy to be here.
I'm curious to know, my understanding is that you are a bigger fan of the option that is not the liquidity fund option. It's the larger fund, $40 billion potentially for a wildfire victims fund. Or that's my understanding anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm wondering if you can tell me why.
Look, we're not crazy about this slush fund that is being proposed that they're calling a liquidity fund because there are too few rules about how it's going to be spent, how the utilities will access it. And as far as I'm concerned, if there is a fund available to utilities, they will find out how to tap it. The wildfire fund, catastrophic fund, we think should be funded through a wide range of funding sources, not including ratepayers. Ratepayers should never pay for wildfire liability because we are already paying billions for wildfire prevention. And that is where ratepayer investment needs to go into. There is far too much time being talked about how to pay for wildfire damage and not enough resources talking about how to prevent utilities from causing wildfires in the first place.
If we are not supposed to get this $40 million, in your view, from the utilities themselves, we're also talking about utilities that are, you know, PG&E is in bankruptcy. It's going to be difficult to get them to pay in to this. How do you get the money? How do you get $40 billion for this option, which you prefer?
There are a lot of potential sources. In Florida, the way they get the money for their catastrophic hurricane fund is through a surcharge on property insurance. And if you think about it, if you're going to be paying for property damage, property insurance is probably the right sector for the bulk of those funds to come from in the first place. There are tax windfalls that have recently come into the state budget as a result of high technology IPOs that have recently come this spring, the Uber, Lyft, a bunch of other large IPOs, where billions of dollars of one-time money has come into the state coffers. That would be appropriate for a one-time capitalization of a wildfire fund. Those are just a couple examples.
Yeah. So just to sort of reset for a second here, we've got two big ideas that are out there. One is a smaller liquidity fund, $10 billion. That would be, and Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, $10 billion that it would act like a loan. It would be sort of a bank, basically, that the state could pay out loans to utilities who might be, or would they be paying out directly to people who are victims of wildfires, or would they be paying to utilities so they could get the money from wildfires? I mean, it seems very complicated, but the mechanics of this seem important.
Sure. I mean, the mechanics are basically there's this fund, and the money would go towards the utilities, who would then pay out potential wildfire victims. While that's happening, the California Public Utilities Commission is determining whether that utility company was responsible for the wildfire damage. If so, you got to give that money back to the state. And if not, the state's going to if you're not responsible, the state's going to have to find out who is responsible for the damage. But the goal is get the victims the money fast. But you're correct. It's not just state government to individual victims directly.
Now, the other option that's being discussed that our other guest, Mr. Tony, describes as more favorable to him, $40 billion, the Catastrophic Wildfire Victims Fund. The idea is that this would just be available to be paid out immediately to victims, and there wouldn't be this sort of contingency about whether the utility was liable. I mean, can you describe, I mean, how is it different from the other option in the way that it's paid out and replenished?
Sure. So this would kind of more socialize the costs and have a bunch of different parties contribute to this fund. And that would include the utilities. The utilities would contribute to this fund, whereas they're the beneficiary, most likely, of the liquidity fund. It's still possible utilities could contribute to the liquidity fund, but the goal is more, if there's a catastrophic wildfire fund, the utilities would contribute to that, but not just utilities. It would also be likely insurance companies and ratepayers socializing the cost. Now, if you ask lawmakers, they want utilities to bear the brunt of that, and they don't want to put ratepayers on the hook. But at the same time, it's difficult to kind of get as much money out of these utility companies as possible. So that's sort of the balance that needs to be struck.
Brian Anderson is a political reporter for the Sacramento Bee, who is joining us to talk about proposals to in Sacramento to create funds to deal with wildfires and also create a little bit of a financial cushion for utilities. We're also speaking with Mark Toney, the executive director of the consumer advocacy group, the Utility Reform Network. We will continue our conversation about wildfire legislation after a quick break. This is Air Talk. Talking about wildfire legislation under consideration in Sacramento, state lawmakers are considering two different models for a fund that would backstop utility companies financially in case of a question of liability. It's very technical, but it has a lot of impact for people who have lost property in wildfires, who, in the case of where, you know, for instance, PG&E in Northern California declared bankruptcy after that massive campfire, victims of wildfires have had difficulty paying out claims so that they can get their properties back. With me, Brian Anderson, a political reporter for the Sacramento Bee, who's been covering this legislation, and Mark Toney, the executive the executive director of the consumer advocacy group, the Utility Reform Network. And Mark, I'm wondering, you have mentioned that we are already paying for wildfire safety. And I believe you've also written that you believe that utilities have not been able to, with the resources they have and have been getting from ratepayers, been able to maintain safety at this point. Is that true?
The PG&E in particular has a terrible record of complying with the basic rules of trimming the trees, of maintaining their equipment. That is why it is absolutely dangerous for one of the proposals that people are talking about reducing the standards for performance, reducing the prudent manager standard, they call it, because the utilities are having a hard time reaching it. If you're having a hard time reaching basic safety standards, the last thing you want to do is to lower them and make it easier for the utilities not to have to pay when they are negligent and they are responsible for causing fires.
Brian Anderson of the Sacramento Bee, host of the Bee's California Nation podcast, who's been following this wildfire legislation. I'm curious to know what about that argument? I mean, it seems a little bit like the state is risking letting utilities name their own price for safety here. Do you know, has SoCal Edison or any of the other PG&E, any of the other utilities responded to that argument?
Well, I know that utilities in the wake of these wildfires have been asking for higher rates, and that's kind of spawned efforts in the legislature, particularly from State Senator Jerry Hill, who's a Democrat who represents San Mateo, to really add an extra layer of review for lawmakers rather than the Public Utilities Commission, because the Public Utilities Commission in California approves rate increases right now. But that bill from Jerry Hill to basically require lawmakers to approve of these rate hikes was thrown out in a budget committee. It didn't clear. And that's one issue that lawmakers are pointing to, where there's just not an extra layer of review to approve these rate increases. And there's a lot of power, according to some Democrats and some Republicans, that these utilities have over the state governing body in the California Public Utilities Commission. But I did want to point to one thing, if I may,
sure,
about sort of where people stand on this issue that I feel is very important. If you look at a recent poll from the Public Policy Institute of California, you'll see more than 3/4 of residents worry about more expensive electricity bills due to these utilities' responsibilities for wildfire damage costs. Another interesting point is if you look at Newsom's handling of this, the California governor, Californians are fairly divided on his handling of PG&E bankruptcy and utilities responsibilities. We often talk about the legislature, but it's also important to look at the governor's role. And with 32% of adults approving of Newsom's performance, 30% disapproving, and a very high 38% unsure, that seems to suggest that that there could be some more clarification and some more communication to the public about the governor's vision and perhaps a directive that's more clear to lawmakers explicitly.
And I want to mention just again here that SoCal Edison, we asked for them to come on the show to comment on these proposals that are out there, but they declined. They did not have anyone available to speak at the time that we were proposing. Mark Toney of the Consumer of the Utility Reform Network, we've got a comment here from Michael on the AirTalk page that says people have to start incurring more of the cost of their own decision to rebuild in known high fire-prone areas. What do you think of that idea?
That already happens through the insurance market. In property insurance policies in high fire zones is triple that in low fire zones. And so that is appropriate for people to pay more for additional risk. I think the big issue we have to look at here is how to prevent a ratepayer bailout of utilities that's being demanded by Wall Street. These rating agencies are the proxy for the hedge funds that are visiting California from New York on a weekly basis, in walking the halls of the legislature, threatening lowering the ratings and, you know, threatening that the sky is going to fall if the legislature doesn't bail out the utilities. What the legislature needs to do is stand up to Wall Street and hold the utilities accountable for not causing the wildfires in the first place. I'll tell you one thing. If we do not reduce wildfires, if we have as many wildfires as we have had the last 2 years, no amount of money is going to fix the problem. We need to focus on stopping the wildfires as the top priority. Then paying for them will take care of itself.
Brian, I want to give you the last word here. And to describe for me, maybe you can handicap the odds, given the sort of lateness of the hour here. I mean, we do have a month left or so before this deadline imposed by Governor Newsom, kind of a somewhat arbitrary deadline of July 12th to get some legislation done. But, you know, that's the traditional start of wildfire season. In 30 or 45 seconds here, can you describe the odds of, you think, something getting done on this issue?
Well, it's dangerous to ask a reporter to bet, so I'll stay away from giving you a percentage. When it comes to the legislature, you can never predict things with a fine point. But what I will say is that if you talk to lawmakers like Senator Bill Dodd and Senator Jerry Hill, who are two leading voices on this issue and a part of a key commission, they insist that something will happen. And something as early as this week could potentially be on the table. It could be as late as July 12th. But these lawmakers are very, very confident that something will get done by July 12th.
Brian Anderson is a political reporter for the Sacramento Bee who covers the legislature and has been following wildfire legislation to try and financially backstop electric utilities for their liability in wildfire cases. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Toney, executive director of the consumer advocacy group, the Utility Reform Network, joined us as well. Thank you, Mr. Toney.
Thank you, Kyle.
And we'll be right back to talk about the OJ chase. Stick with us on AirTalk.